Take us back to the night in question concerning your wife, Kathleen. What happened that night?
That night, December the 9th, Kathleen and I were watching TV. And about 10 o'clock, I guess it was, 11 o'clock, my son, Todd, and her girlfriend came over. And they talked. And they were all going off to a party. And they left. And then we went into the kitchen. And the answering machine was blinking. And so I picked it up. And it was for Kathleen. Call Canada immediately. She worked for Nortel, which was a Canadian firm. And so she called Canada, who told her, oh, you have a teleconference in the morning, which was a total surprise to Kathleen. And then she hung up. And Kathleen, who was a director at Nortel, was very keyed up now. I mean, this was, kids and I would call it her Nortel mode. And she did not now want to go to bed. So we got the rest of the wine, we went out to the pool, and we talked. And again, one of those things, what do you talk about when your wife's going to die in a couple of minutes? Well, I didn't know she was going to die, so I'm sure we just talked about Christmas was coming up, what we're going to get the kids, things like that. And then she said to me, well, I got to go to bed, I'm going to go upstairs for the teleconference in the morning. And I said, okay, good night, dear. And that was the last I saw her, really. Alive, vibrant, was walking from the pool towards the house. And I stayed out there for maybe an hour. I might have dozed, I honestly don't know. It was a beautiful night. The pool was sparkling and it was just really magical. I was happy with my life. So then I got up and I went into the house, the back way. And then I was going to go around, it was a very big house, and go around and lock the rest of the house up. And then I turned the corner, and now on the back staircase, I saw her. She's just lying at the bottom of the stairs. And it was, I'm like, what? What? And so I went to her, and the first thing I noticed was, you know, there was blood. But I wasn't aware of that much blood until later. But she was crumpled up on the floor, and I picked her up, and I held her. And then I called 911.
John, 911, what's your emergency?
1810 Cedar Street, please.
What's wrong?
My wife had an accident. She's still breathing.
What kind of accident?
She's still downstairs. She's still breathing.
And I got some towels, and I put it under her head. And well, she was dying. I knew that. I mean, I'd seen it in Vietnam, and she was just dying. And I called 911, when are you coming? How much longer?
Call 911, where is your emergency?
Where are they? It's 1810 Cedar. She's not breathing. Please, please, would you hurry up?
I ran to the front door and opened the front door thinking, you know, it wasn't locked, but wanted to make sure so that when EMT came in, they'd be right there. And then she just died. Just that last exhale. And then that's when, just about at that time, EMT came running in.
Well, in the first call, she was still breathing. You said she was still breathing?
Yeah.
But then you talked to him 15 minutes later.
I don't, was it that long? I can't remember.
And you said that she had quit breathing at that point.
Right.
So you were actually with her when she took her last breath?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
According to the DA, by the time the first responders got there, the blood had coagulated and was dry.
I think that some of it had. Again, she might have fallen. It was slick. I think that there were some drops that might have coagulated, but there was the fresh blood. She bled out, and I would imagine maybe some of it had coagulated.
All right, part two, Michael Peterson case. This is Outline of a Murder. Sister, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
I'm Elena.
Mom.
And I am Sherry. And so far, we've discussed it for about, 45 minutes to an hour. Mom is still staunchly for guilt.
Yes, I am.
Me and Elena for innocent. So we're going to continue and see. Lightning. If...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Weren't you unsure?
That was the first time
first,
I was asked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then when I was asked 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I remembered the details because I couldn't remember all the details.
Right. Yeah.
And you may need to move your thing close if you go back.
Yeah,
again.
I saw that.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let me pull up a picture of this blood spatter analyst. I actually don't think he's much of an analyst, but we will see what y'all think. This dude's name is Dwayne Deaver. Okay. So, as I said in the last episode, the blood splatter was only a foot off the ground, right? And typically, when you have blunt force trauma and you've got your weapon, right, and you go down and then lift, okay, you're going to have blood going everywhere. It's going to go on the ceiling if it can reach it. It's going to go on walls. It's going to go on the person, typically the back. Oh, yeah. And so they're trying to figure out, okay, why is there not any other blood? The only blood is 12 inches, a foot, and under. I don't know if I said 12 feet. It's not 12 feet.
No.
12 inches or a foot under. Why? Why is there not any other blood?
In that middle bottom picture, though, it looks like it's higher up.
It's not. That's just, that right there?
No, on the underneath.
This?
See? Left up bit. There's little spatters up.
No, that's all down. That's all down. All of that. It's not up on anything. Yeah. And this is important because this dude is trying to recreate a blunt force trauma murder with the blood only going up a foot.
So that middle picture's upside down? See to the left? It looks like splatter. Up past the shadow of blood.
Point a little bit more, maybe.
This one?
Yeah.
Yeah,
up
no,
on
it's
the left.
Only. No, the
looks
stairs.
Like.
The stairs go up.
Yeah.
And so as you go up, the blood is only a foot up. And, I mean, it might be a little over a foot, but mm-hmm. it doesn't go up the wall. Okay. And so if let me go back to the crime scene. So I just want to warn Elena. That's the blood. So from here up, what? That might be 2 feet. You think? Or is
no,
it still just a foot?
Probably just a foot.
So that's what they're saying. The blood only goes up a foot. So this guy has to recreate a condition where you're doing blunt force trauma and the blood is only going up a foot. The other thing they were trying to figure out is there was a tiny little bit of blood on the inside of Michael Peterson's shorts. So they're trying to say that he was standing over her and that he had the weapon like right here and he's hitting her like this with a blow poke. So it's not a solid metal poke. It's a long, thin blow poke that easily bends. And he just is barely lifting his hands to do that type of damage.
I don't think they for sure knew what it was.
Well, they just showed a blow poke at the beginning of the trial that wasn't the blow poke. They never found it, but they bring in a blow poke to say this is the murder weapon, which is very risky as a prosecutor. Yeah. So, the blood spatter, which they said could only come from him beating her. But this whole thing became like a crap show.
Yeah.
And let me get off this picture. So we know there was a lot of blood. It had pulled around Kathleen, but like I said, it went up maybe a little over a foot up the wall. There is a lot of cast off typically in blunt force trauma. But again, she didn't die of blunt force trauma. So that's why there wasn't blood everywhere, because that's not how she died. And when you lift up the weapon, blow after blow, he would definitely probably get it up in his shorts and stuff, but there was only one little bit. Well, the prosecutors brought out is probably because he was trying to help his wife, and that's why there is blood
right
on his clothing. And then you would also have cast off on him as a person. Like Elena said, you're going to get it like in your hair and your head and all of that. We don't have skull fractures. We don't have brain contusions. And we don't have a murder weapon. And there wasn't any splatter on Michael Peterson's shirt. So the defense team asked Deaver if he had tested the shirt. And he said, well, no, because he could visually see there wasn't any blood. This is ridiculous.
What?
Yeah, that's what he said. You have to use proper lighting and equipment to make sure that there's not any blood. And sure enough, they did. And there was not a single drop of blood on his shirt. Okay? After numerous tests, Devers came up with an awkward and unbelievable way for Peterson to kill Kathleen, where the blood was relegated to the lower part of the wall and then that bottom part of his shorts. So listen to David Rudolph. This is David Rudolph, his attorney. Really neat guy.
Very familiar.
He said, a critical point I had to establish during the hearing centered on Deaver's opinion about how a tiny blood splatter ended up just inside one leg of Michael's shorts. Our experts believed it was likely from him holding Kathleen and putting towels under her head after he found her on the stairway, which he did. There were towels there. But Deaver had insisted to the jury it was from him standing over her while he beat her a second time. This was critical testimony since Hardin had relied on it to claim the alleged murder was premeditated, so the first degree. But during the original trial, I had established that Deaver's opinion was based solely on his experiments. I therefore showed all of our blood spatter experts this portion of Deaver's testimony and asked them if the experiments were scientifically valid and accepted by experts in their field, and they all agreed they were not. But I wanted to go further to establish that Deaver had not just mistaken or was misguided, but had intentionally lied to Judge Hudson and to the jury. Part of that was showing he had done similar things with experiments in similar cases, such as Kirk Turner's murder case. So we called one of Turner's defense lawyers and showed Judge Hudson the video of the experiment Deaver supervised in that case, which after a number of unsuccessful attempts, ended with Deaver proclaiming, "That's a wrap," when he finally got the result he was looking for.
Oh.
This echoed the victory dance done in Michael's case when finally, after numerous unsuccessful attempts, Deaver got a small drop of splatter to land inside the shorts he was wearing. These were not experiments at all. They were done solely to support the theory Deaver had already formed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they really jacked up the prosecution, but I don't think putting towels under her head as much blood as there was, there'd be one drop inside his shorts. There'd be more. More blood.
On the towel or the shorts?
On the shorts. Not just one drop.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that argument, you could also say, well, how would there be just one if he was beating her head in?
Well, nobody was covered in blood, but even if he wasn't, there just wouldn't, with all the blood, there'd be more than just one drop, I would think. From putting a towel under her.
I don't know. If he's straddling her and he lifts her head up and puts it under there and I could see him not getting any blood on him, actually. But if her hand like brushed or if he stepped in it and it splattered up, I don't know. I think the argument for both is it's kind of weird
it is
such a small amount. But I think if it leans toward any theory, it's going to be when he was helping her, not bludgeoning her to death. I just don't see a tiny drop of blood and none on his shirt at all being a bludgeoning. And I thought that he had blood all over him, and obviously he didn't. So
how was
I thought you said he did. Yeah. How was he sitting
well,
there
she
with
was
her?
At the bottom. Well, he was
in her arms, cradling her. Yeah. And
that
it said there was
weird.
A lot of blood
I know,
all
that's
over
what
him.
I thought.
Yeah, so.
But there was none on his shirt. So are they talking about spatter or blood in general? Because spatter is going to show up different on the shirt than just blood.
Yeah.
So if you have the transfer, remember the case we did of the mom that went to prison for murdering her son and she didn't do it as Tommy Lynn Sells?
Yes.
And there was this one piece of blood that was transfer blood. And the blood splatter tried to say it was proof that she killed him, and it wasn't, but she got convicted later. They got her off because Tommy Lynn Sells, right, you know, said he's the one that did it. But the blood splatter is not a science. People need to know that. But we do know that if you have transfer because he's cradling her and he's trying to help her, that's going to show up different on his clothes than splatter.
Right.
So maybe it's both. He was covered in a lot of blood, but not splatter.
Where was the speck in the shorts?
Right on the very inner leg on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
could have got on his leg and just
soaked.
I guess
they're saying that that's the one splatter that proves he bludgeoned her.
I never thought the prosecution, I think some of the stuff they did make to fit their
theory. Now, here's what I think happened. Oh, sorry.
I think that they did do things to fit their theory, but I don't by any means, even with this so far still, don't think he was innocent, but keep going.
Hopefully you don't have a closed mind.
No, I
don't. Because I know when I started this case, I thought he's 100% guilty. But when I started digging around into the evidence, not even the shows, I don't care. They always have a bias.
They do.
But when I started digging into the evidence, I'm like, there's just nothing to tie this guy.
Okay, so you think he's guilty?
Yeah.
With the blood and, okay, explain the blood and a weapon.
Maybe there wasn't a weapon. Maybe he pushed her. I mean, maybe the way she hit her head.
In the head.
Yeah, but I don't know if it was a documentary or one of the shows. It showed that different ways she could have hit her head, especially on the floor, the way it would bounce as she falls.
Well, they showed that as well, but they proved that she actually didn't fall like they said. And the ME said this was not the result of a fall. And all the falls from stairs, they don't have that level of wounding. And there's also more bruising.
The body.
Mm-hmm. And she didn't have that. So the ME initially said she did not die from a fall on the staircase and she did not die from blunt force trauma.
But she ended at the bottom. So she had
to. That's where she was found.
That's where she was found. There's no blood up on the rest of the stairs. It's all located in that corner and bottom.
Yeah. That's why I wonder, didn't they find one of her shoes on the stairway or at the bottom?
Oh, thinking that she had
tripped. Yeah, that she had tripped because of the alcohol and the medicine when she got closer and then her head just bounced. I mean, it's possible.
I remember that.
I don't think that you could have enough force within the little bit of space, like the staircase when they showed that scenario. I don't believe for 1 second that she would have fallen with the impact that was necessary that close to the baseboard to cause those wounds. I don't see how you could. Now, if you were at the top and you fall head first and you hit the edge of the stair or you hit the edge of the baseboard, 100% I could see that. But I don't see that many wounds from that tight of a space. Like, basically, she would have had to have force. I mean, physics just don't agree. She would have to have force where she literally hit her head from this space right here, and it caused that level of wounds. And I just don't, there's not enough force to do that. Now, if it was a situation where he grabbed her head and he beat it into the baseboard or he beat it into the stairs, she would have had a cracked skull and brain contusions. So I'd like people to explain if it's blunt force trauma and even him pushing her down the stairs. The head wounds occurred at the bottom. There's no blood at the top. So I'd like someone to explain why there's no skull fractures and no brain contusions.
And that's 100%. 100%. No, I mean, not that she didn't have any, but that never occurs.
It never occurs, yeah. And the lawyer brought it out. It was interesting. I've got it in our notes. So that just bothers me, because like even in the scene where they show her cracking her head here and then cracking her head, I'm like, there's not enough force. There's just not enough force. If she would have had to have literally been dropped in order to even do that. And so I don't agree with the defense's theory. I don't think any of them have it correct. And so it only leaves, you know, the one
mm-hmm.
that I think did it. Yeah.
I agree. I remember that from the documentary.
Yeah. Okay. Now, here's what I think might have happened with the Schwartz, though. So Kathleen is still alive. He comes in on her. She's still alive. He's trying to figure out what's going on. He's grabbing, you know, stuff to try to staunch the bleeding, right? She was coughing because she's drowning in her own blood. So at some point when he is helping her, does she cough and a little bit gets on the inside of the shorts? Because mm-hmm. we know she was breathing.
Or he went and used the restroom at some point. It could have been like on his inner thigh or his knee or something.
Maybe. I'm pretty sure they probably took his clothes at night, though. You know what I mean? They immediately thought he was the killer. So I'm sure they took his clothes right off the bat. So I don't even know if he would have had time to go to the restroom.
Yeah, time to disappear for 45 minutes.
Well, that's true.
And focusing on a dot, though. I mean.
I know.
Oh,
that's sort of.
Yeah.
I mean.
The one dot they think, you know, was proof. So yeah, I think she was in death throes. He was putting towels around her head, probably straddling her to get those underneath her, and she might have coughed.
And that doesn't typically, well, that just doesn't reflect a killer.
No, putting the towels under doesn't.
Well, unless you want it to look like you're not a killer.
I don't think so. If he's in a rage, I think that if he did do it, he would have covered her face, because typically that's what you have. You either have, they're just found completely beaten and destroyed, or they're covered by a blanket because they don't want to look at what they've done. Same thing with kids. They know typically the parents killed the child whenever the child is wrapped up in their blanket.
Most of the time, so the rage part, Mom. So think about this. Let's say that one of their theories of her finding out that he was bisexual, they get into the fight. He is probably going to be in a rage. Most of the time, whenever there are rage murders, they focus on cleaning up the crime scene and potentially putting the body, staging the body. Mm-hmm. They don't think, how can I show love and care?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true. Well, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. You can interpret love, but you can also interpret, you know, staging. People do cover the faces with blankets and different things, but those murderers usually leave. They don't stay, and, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
That's just me. I don't know.
Okay.
I think both sides have really done a horrible job.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Now, here is where, and by the way, I don't like the prosecutors that did this case. They were, to me, deceitful,
right?
And they wanted everything to fit their theory. There was another similar death, so we're going to go back to Elizabeth Ratliff, and that was Margaret, you know, Martha's mom,
right?
And the DA found out that Elizabeth was found at the bottom of a staircase, dead in Germany. Michael was the last one to see her the night before, and then the nanny found her the next morning at the foot of the staircase. So when I first heard this, I was like, 100% guilty, 100. But then the first thing was like, well, what would be his motive? Like, you kill, so you have to take custody of two girls. It means you're going to have to pay more money for, you know, out for food, and, you know, you got two more responsibilities. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Were the parents wealthy? Because the money would go to the children.
No. And then I was like, well, maybe he was a serial killer. And, you know, that was the only thing that I could think that would make it where he would kill her. Or maybe she made he made moves on her and she said no and he got upset. So I thought maybe that. If y'all have ideas, I'd love to hear them.
Could have walked in with him and her husband.
I didn't even think about that one. That could be.
Well, there was no evidence that occurred or that he had a relationship with them.
The only reason,
serial killer.
Really, the only motive would be money, because he'd get the kids and he knew he'd probably get the kids.
Yeah.
But that would only be, I think, the motive. I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But then you have to take care of the kids. Yeah. So you're not really making any money.
And obviously they loved him.
Yep. And he loved them.
Yeah.
So her autopsy stated there was actually a cerebral hemorrhage, which was caused by a pre-existing blood disorder known as von Willebrand's disease. It's a disease that is inherited, and it makes you bleed more easily, so that, like, she died, they think, and then fell down the stairs because there wasn't hardly any blood. So she was not alive if she was falling down the stairs and bleeding, because it would have been everywhere. Hardly anybody, I found this out on my own, or the prosecutors might have mentioned it, I had never heard anyone say, and y'all might have, that Elizabeth had this blood disorder. I never heard it.
I never heard that before.
It didn't even come out on the staircase show I watched. And I'm like, why does no one mention she had a blood disorder?
Doesn't fit the narrative.
Exactly.
Where'd you get that from?
My research. I've got all of my links in our show notes, so people can read this stuff too. So the staircase, you know, the HBO fictional based on his story that I've been talking about, some of those things weren't true at all either. And they said that in this series, the nanny, so the nanny's the one that found Elizabeth's body, that when she heard about Kathleen's death, she notified the DA about Elizabeth's, and then she later testified that Kathleen's injuries brought flashbacks of the morning she found Elizabeth's body, and that blood was everywhere, like Kathleen's. However, that's not in the police report. No, instead, it says there was very little blood. And by the way, is it smart to testify on flashbacks? Right? So if you're going to have flashbacks, let's make sure they're actually true and they are consistent with police reports. Now, the reason police reports are so important and judges will go by those and DAs will go by those is because their job is to make sure everything is in there. So if it's missing, it probably didn't happen, or they're trying to cover it up.
Yeah.
Besides, if you witness a death or find someone dead, I don't think you'd have flashbacks. Exactly. I would think you would know and remember that for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Michael was never convicted. He was even charged with Elizabeth's death. There was a very narrow window to enter past offenses like this. And typically they have to have like an actual conviction. So the judge later shared in an interview he should have never let that in. There was no standing. They didn't have any way to connect this lady's murder or this lady's death with even murder.
They didn't object to it when it was brought up, neither?
They did, but the judge allowed it.
Allowed it still?
Yeah. I was shocked. I was like, okay, why did this judge allow this? Because number one, he wasn't convicted of the crime. So that's like you're bringing in another case that's not even a crime, trying to tie it to a dude that's never been convicted.
Isn't that a cause for a retrial?
I would think it'd be a cause for a mistrial. 100%, yeah. And now, if he had been convicted of her murder, absolutely, but even then, I think it would have been hard to bring in. It's really hard to bring in past offenses, but this isn't even an offense. So anyway, moving on. So the DA, they exhume her body that was buried in Texas and said that the injuries were exact, and they relabeled her death. They like to do that over there in Durham, North Carolina, as homicide by blunt force trauma, which, by the way, was the same Emmy who changed her findings for the DA along with Kathleen.
Did they provide pictures?
I couldn't find any of the pictures. Come to find out, from what I could gather, they were not the same.
I would like to see them, though, wouldn't you?
And that she was already dead before she got to the bottom of the stairs. I would like to know if she had any evidence of the blunt force.
Pictures of that.
But no, I couldn't find any pictures. But it happened in Germany, so
who knows their procedure?
Exactly.
Or they may not release stuff like that.
Well, I mean, when she was exhumed, the new medical examiner.
You think they would.
Oh. So these people are really irritating me. Now, the blow poke. Let's go back to that, guys. So they used a similar blow poke in their opening statement, which is highly unusual for DAs to do that because it's not the murder weapon, but you're presenting this blow poke as the murder weapon, but it's not. You can't find the murder weapon that is the blow poke, so it's very risky because if at any point in the trial they find the actual blow poke and it doesn't have any evidence on it, guess what?
Oh.
And then guess what happened? They found the blow poke. Huh.
I'm surprised they let it in, not sure of what the actual weapon was in the first place.
Well, they let everything else in.
Yeah, the whole joke on both, the whole trial on both sides joke.
So yeah, it was risky. So let's summarize the prosecution's. You know, that's what we've been going over. Prosecutors believe that Michael killed Kathleen after a heated argument over his bisexual affairs and for financial relief from the life insurance policy. However, they charged him with premeditation in spite of the heat of the argument murder. Because some of the actions immediately preceding or after her death. As you can tell, I'm not enthused with these people. They also said he used a blow poke to beat her and that he killed Elizabeth in Germany. I almost forgot as well that Kathleen had a fractured thyroid bone.
Oh.
And said that he tried to strangle her first, but here's the problem. There's no marks on her neck indicating strangulation, and I did not see any petechial hemorrhaging in her eyes, and there's always petechial hemorrhaging. So he did not strangle her, even that ME couldn't say that she was strangled.
How did they...
I have my theory.
Okay. Or they're lying.
No, she did have, it was fractured.
Huh, okay.
Also, they believe that he beat her within a 12-inch span, contorting his body in unnatural ways that no one could do in order to kill someone in the heat of the moment.
Really low.
Yep. And no brain bruising or skull fractures. Okay, so I don't really like defense lawyers. We're going to move to the defense now, but I do like his. So David Rudolph, we've talked about him. Like, you know, he's right here in this photo. So we already saw that he disputed the blood evidence with Dwayne Deaver. He also vigorously opposed the Elizabeth Ratliff deal, especially being used as evidence for Kathleen's death. So he hired famous Dr. Henry Lee.
I saw him interviewed.
Yep. Dr. Lee disputed that Kathleen was beat to death at all in such close quarters with such little movement. He believed that she was intoxicated, slipped, hit her head, tried to get up, fell again, hit her head again, repeated this process several times in her confusion and dazed state. There is evidence that she sat up several times, like the blood on the bottom of her socks and by the smears on the wall closest to her body, but she was too injured. And she couldn't see. It was really sad. It was really sad how she died. But I don't agree with the defense either. I don't think it's correct. The wounds were too deep. She would have had to contort more than Michael to get the wounds on the top of her head and then the back of her head. I don't believe the physics works either. All the blood was centered at the bottom. So even if she did fall from the top, it doesn't explain why there was no blood in any of the other locations. And again, how would she get such deep lacerations by hitting her head that way? I just don't see it.
She could have been hit while she was down.
But there would have been cast off and splatter that would have gone higher than 12 inches. And there wasn't.
I feel like you're being the prosecution, Mom.
Yeah.
No, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, if she was. I mean,
someone did something. I mean, that wounds.
We'll see who that person was.
Hoo-hoo.
So the blood itself does tell a story. This is interesting. The autopsy shows that she laid there dying for 90 minutes to 2 hours. Yeah, it's that's why I was so disturbed by the show.
What's up?
Wait, I thought she died. I wrote it down. I thought she died.
Well, he didn't come in for a long time.
So from 11...
till 11:45?
11:53, the attachment came in from the email, and she did not respond. So I believe she was in the dying state then. He comes in at 2:30-ish, and he calls 911 by 2:41.
He said he came in at that time?
Mm-hmm. So if the attachment was sent at 11:53 and she didn't respond, he doesn't come in until 2:30. So at some point in that time is when she was injured and started dying.
But he said 2:30.
Is when he came in
from
the pool.
So that she would have been dying in between the email and him
being outside. I understand that, but what is the proof? I may have not heard or forgot.
Proof of what?
That he came in at that time and not earlier.
Yeah, we don't know.
Okay.
But that's why I said only the accused can tell us, and he's the one that said that he was out there smoking his cigar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Real quick. So 90 minutes to 2 hours is how long it took her to die.
Yeah.
So Valium and 2 to 3 glasses of wine. If she had taken them earlier, then she was very, very much under the influence. How was she dressed?
She was wearing sweatpants and a sweat top and some flip-flops.
Okay.
And she did have socks on. But here's the thing. Do we really think that he's going to bash her head in and just let her die for 90 minutes to 2 hours? No. If he attacked her, he's going to make sure she's dead, and then he's going to call the cops. He doesn't. He comes in, according to his words, sees her, gets towels, tries to help her while he's waiting for the police to get there. If he killed her, I don't see him letting her be alive. She was alive for 6 minutes, and then he calls back and says, please hurry, she just died. I just don't see it. If he killed her, he's going to make sure she's dead.
Yes, I agree with that. On the flip side, if you do think that he's guilty, he's a liar.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's going to let her die for 90 minutes to 2 hours? No. I've never heard.
He's a psychopath.
I've never heard of a
I get what you're saying.
You know, a romantic homicide
where
they don't finish them off. They want to make sure they're dead, and they don't let them die for 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Well, he couldn't touch her. I'm not being argumentative, but he couldn't touch her and hold her nose shut. Maybe he knew she was dying, just didn't realize how long it was going to take.
I don't think so. I think he would have finished. He would have just picked up the weapon and hit her again. No, I don't think he was going to just sit there and wait for her for 2 hours for her to die. If he was in a rage, he was going to make sure she was dead. I've never heard of a romantic homicide where the guy just lets her lay there for however long. They always make sure they're dead.
Or he was cleaning up, getting rid of evidence.
There's no evidence that he cleaned up anything. There's no evidence of that. Mm-mm. None. There's no smear. Mm. There's no evidence that he walked around. There's no blood deposits anywhere. It's all around her body. So, no, he didn't clean up anything. Yeah, that's the only thing. I just don't see him letting her die that long because it puts him at risk if his kid comes back home, you know? Mm. Like, he needs to make sure she's dead before the kid comes back. And sure enough, the kid comes back before, you know, everybody's left. I mean, he comes back at the height of them arriving. So I just don't see that. I don't see him doing that. But, you know, if he was that sadistic, which there's no evidence he was, but if he was that sadistic, maybe. I've just never heard it in any of the true crime we've done. But the other thing that is weird is her blood was partially dried and wet. There's actually a name for it. I can't even pronounce it, but it indicates a slow death to bleeding out. So that means that as she's dying, some of her blood even, like as it's coming out, is drying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's evidence for both sides, though. So it doesn't mean that Michael didn't do it, but it does lean towards supporting his story that he was outside and then came in when she was at the last part of dying. And they found the blowpoke. So Clayton, the guy that likes bombs, he found it in the attic, covered in dust and cobwebs with no blood on it, and it was not the murder weapon. The defense also stated that Kathleen knew of Michael's bisexual behavior and was fine with it. That's kind of like taking his story that he came in, so I don't know. But surprisingly, the jury found him guilty of first-degree murder. He was sentenced to life in prison without parole. These are his two daughters that loved him, that he adopted. This is them as well at the trial. And then this is them when the verdict comes out. I didn't serve on the jury. I don't know how they convicted him because I do think there is a reasonable doubt. But here's what I think might have happened. There's no other explanation.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other explanation for them. It's either an intruder came in, or he killed her, or she fell down the stairs, but the blood doesn't fit the stairs. So it had to be human in their eyes.
But it's not a jury's job to figure out a theory and exactly. to figure out what happened.
Right.
Their job is
strictly the evidence.
Yeah.
Based on the evidence.
In front of them.
So I believe that he was convicted of his sexual exploits, his unlikability, and because of Elizabeth's death.
Yep.
Now, with our discussions, are you still 100%, Mom?
Maybe not 100, but I do still think he is, but not 100. I think the defense and the prosecution did horrible.
I do too.
Horrible.
Yeah. Like and I said, I don't believe the defense's theory either.
No, I don't believe either one.
Yeah.
Bits and pieces, but not either one.
Yeah.
It's no wonder he got convicted either way, you know?
Now I'm going to introduce you to who I think did it.
Who?
Okay. Now this is crazy. And I'll tell you what the prosecutors think as well. Again, listen to their podcast. It's phenomenal. So Michael's former neighbor, Larry Pollard, he was a lawyer. And he came up with this crazy idea of what happened to Kathleen. And his defense attorney at first was like, this is ridiculous. And it came at the end of closing arguments, so he couldn't introduce this theory. There was no way to get it into, they'd have to start all over. But he also didn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
He does now, but he didn't then. Okay, so this guy believes an owl did it, and it's called a barred owl.
I remember now that. Yep. Yes, I remember.
He liked Michael. He felt he was innocent. What he uncovered was very interesting, and when he presented it publicly at first, everybody laughed. The defense, prosecution, everybody thought it was ridiculous. First, he re-examined the wounds that me and you saw on her scalp and noticed they were consistent with three talons. So, Elaine, I'm going to show her, just so you know not to glance
over. I remember that now. Yeah.
Okay. So, if we look at that. They're owl talons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, that's the first thing. And he thought, man, those look like three owl talon long gashes that you would expect from a barred owl or some type of predator bird. They were located on the top and then the back. Now, here's what they don't talk about either, including the defense, because they couldn't explain it. He also read in the reports that microscopic owl feathers, a wood splinter consistent with the trees around their home, and cedar needles were found in her hair and the wounds. But no one could figure it out. Yeah, they couldn't figure it out. They were tiny, tiny little microscopic feathers, but no one pursued, not even the defense, that could this have been a predator bird attack? Because it's so ridiculous. Do people even get attacked like that? Do people even die?
Especially in the house.
So they decide, well, it couldn't have been an owl because, you know, that's ridiculous, right? Well, he's like, wait a minute, guys, we got this microscopic owl feathers. We got this wood splinter. We got this in her hair. And then the only hair found in her hands were her own. So he's like, and on top of that, they were ripped out from the roots. Would she rip out her own hair? No. So he's thinking the owl attacks her and she's trying to protect her head. And as she's dying, you know, and because she's grabbed her head, her own hair's in her hands. Michael's hair is not anywhere on her. So that was weird. Also, and I didn't pull these up because it's disturbing, but I looked at her face post-mortem with the autopsy. She's got tiny little wounds on her face. And I'm like, they're owl beak pecks. 100%. So
now, hold on.
The owl was pecking her. So they think that he landed and then and was and they go for the eyes. So they're all by the eyes and that she bent her head and it got her on her head. She's intoxicated. She's got Valium. Okay. So a lot of people don't mention this stuff. You know, again, no grid. Here's what is interesting. Some believe that Kathleen, while she was waiting for the email, went out to her front yard to place or to look at something similar to the small reindeers that she had out for Christmas. Now, let me share what his defense attorney said. Here's the circumstantial evidence that supports the theory that Kathleen went out into the front yard, possibly to put those reindeers out that are seen in the photos. Barred owls were living in the woods by the Peterson house. They're aggressive and they can be dangerous. And I have a link where people can read about this. They have attacked people on numerous occasions and there were drops of blood on the outside walkway leading to the front door of the house.
Yep.
No one mentions that.
But was there from the door into where she was found?
I don't know. I couldn't find that. But, and that bothers me, but why were they out front? He didn't attack her out front.
Well, they, yeah, they tried to say that he went outside.
Yeah. So there's just drops. Now, that's interesting because drops are, she's standing up. She's moving.
Well, the, yeah.
So there's these blood drops in the front. There's a large smear on the outside of the front door frame that's seen. I saw the police photos. So they think that she, like she grabbed and smeared as she went inside the house. She gets to the staircase. Also, two of the wounds on her scalp were the shape of the talons, like me and you saw. The tiny wounds on her face for the beak. A feather was found on her body. A twig was found in dried blood on her body. There were numerous strands of head hair pulled out from the roots and in her hands. And her wounds were not consistent with blunt force trauma. I want to know, did the jury know there was blood at the front of the house? Did they know that she was slightly intoxicated? She may have gone out for some reason. She gets attacked by the owl. It's a head wound. She's immediately blinded by the blood. She gets inside the house and she slips. She falls. She's bleeding more and more and more. She tries to get up several times. She's bleeding profusely. She can't see. She's disoriented, possibly weakened at this point. And she slumps on the stairs and slowly dies as she bleeds out.
Yep.
That's what I think happened.
The only problem I have is from the door to where she was found.
Did they look for it?
There's nothing.
I don't know.
And
that's not, hang on. They didn't say they didn't find any blood. I just don't know if they even looked. Did they even look for blood from the doorway to the stairs? Who found the blood out front? Was it his defense attorney? Was it a family member? Did the cops even look out front? I don't know. I mean, we do know, actually, they do have the police photos. Did they look for blood? I mean, they didn't even look for blood on his shirt using the proper techniques. That does bother me that there's no blood from the door to where she was found, but I don't know if it's because they didn't look.
That'd be a lot of mistakes if they didn't look for that or see that stuff. And against the wall, but also
is dark wooden floors too, though.
Now hold on, I thought that one of the theories was that the owl actually came inside and attacked her, and that he left with the blood.
I didn't hear or see any in my research that the owl came in, but I'm like you. The two things that bother me about the story are, why are you on the computer when your wife is dead at the bottom of a staircase, and why is there no blood found between the front door and the staircase?
And even if it's an outrageous theory, you go to court knowing that?
No, they didn't know that.
Said they all laughed him off and said, that's not it.
At the very end.
So why didn't he come forward sooner?
Because he didn't know. It's a neighbor.
Yeah.
Who thinks he's innocent. And then when he finds out about the talon-like wounds, he's like, wait a minute. So then he gets a copy of the autopsy report and discovers there's twigs, there's microscopic owl feathers, and he's like, I bet it was a barred owl. And they were absolutely lived near the house. So it was too late. They already rested their case. Mm-hmm. They can't reopen it. Once it's rested, you cannot say, hey, we found some other evidence. So no one believed this dude, but the more people started looking at it, but you cannot get me past the feather and the splinter and the twig. You just can't.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. If Michael started attacking her in the front yard, first of all, neighbors would have noticed, number one. But number two, the owl feather. How is there an owl feather in her wound? See, that's the thing that bothers me. If it was maybe on her clothes and they get in a wrestling match in the front yard, I could maybe see an owl feather. But I don't see a microscopic owl feather that's only on their legs. That's the only place they're at. In her wound. And the splinter. That bothers me.
When was he convicted?
I don't know.
I mean, because I would think they would try to get a new trial.
Well, they did.
Okay.
So also, some of the sources I found said that owl attacks were a regular occurrence there. Dr. Patrick T. Rettig, I hope that's how you say his name, a University of Minnesota professor of veterinary medicine, and then Kate Davis, a wildlife expert who runs the Raptors of the Rockies, both wrote that Kathleen's injuries could have absolutely been the work of the barred owl. They stand 16 to 23 inches tall with a 38 to 45 inch wingspan. Survivors of barred owl attacks stated it was like getting hit by a 2x4. I believe if she was not drunk and if she had not taken the Valium, she would have lived.
Yeah.
But she was so disoriented and her thinking would have been slowed. She probably would have been loopy. She wouldn't have known what was going on. So they tried to use that as a new trial. None of it worked. Well, remember the idiot, Dwayne Deaver? And if he ever listens to this podcast, you're an idiot. He got into some hot water. So he was convicted in 2003. District Attorney Michael Nifong was disbarred. So let's go back to these winners here. So this dude,
that's pretty serious to be disbarred.
Yeah, it
was
is.
Disbarred and imprisoned
for
the Duke LaCrosse case. I remember that. And the State Bureau of Investigation analyst Dwayne Deaver was fired for falsifying evidence in 34 cases.
I remember that.
These facts and other findings of incompetence and/or corruption led to a 2011 release of Michael Peterson placed under house arrest during arguments for a new trial. In 2014, Peterson had numerous restrictions lifted. The state then granted him a new trial. It was slated to begin in May of 2017. In February of that year, Michael Peterson entered an involuntary manslaughter Alford plea, meaning he refused to admit that he killed his wife, but he conceded that a jury would probably find him guilty. Mm-hmm. Since he had already served more time than any potential sentence, he's now a free man, but he remains on record as a convicted criminal.
I would do the same. If I wasn't guilty, I'd take a plea like that.
I wouldn't.
Because I wouldn't risk going back to prison.
Oh, I don't know where the other photo is. He looks terrible.
I'd be scared to go back to prison.
I actually did an Alford plea for a wreck I had on the base. And I wasn't wearing my seatbelt. And I didn't want to admit guilt. And so Dad arranged with the judge for me to do an Alford plea. But what was interesting is the only reason I could do that is because they didn't have a sign alerting me that there was a 90-degree turn. And so I told Dad there wasn't a sign. And when he went and looked, there was not one. There is now, but there wasn't then. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why they let me do that, because I could have sued.
They should have just dismissed it.
That makes sense. But this is for murder of a loved one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
I'd rather be with my loved ones, take it.
That's what he wanted. Because at this point, he's 70. And he decided that his family had been through enough, and he wanted to enjoy his children and grandchildren before he died. Okay. He lives in Durham to this day.
Wow.
He's written two books about his ordeal. He's given all the money to charity. He never took a dime for it. As a convicted criminal, he can't profit anyway. And he never got the life insurance policy.
Right.
Mm. So, where is everyone now?
And, well, who's this?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
October 2002, acting as administrator of Kathleen's estate, Caitlin filed a wrongful death claim against Michael. He filed for bankruptcy in 2006. 2 weeks later, she filed an objection on February 1st, 2007. Caitlin and Michael settled the wrongful death for $25 million. And then it was announced in 2008. He never admitted, though, he killed her. Caitlin will probably never collect any money. She also has recently graduated from Cornell University. Peterson's younger son, Todd, lives in Dubai. His older son, Clayton, was married in 2004. Martha lives in San Francisco. And then, this is crazy, one of those weird twists, Margaret Ratliff is studying documentary filmmaking. She applied for a job at Netflix. And then when they realized who she was, they're like, we can't hire you because they were doing a documentary.
Oh no. On her dad.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's where I saw it.
I think it was
Netflix.
Very
good one.
Yeah, I want to watch it.
Because it talked about the owl theory.
Yeah.
And then, following the trial, one of his lawyers, Thomas, resigned from the firm that bore his name. And he's now Peterson's court appointed attorney. And then lead defense mentions Peterson a lot on his case. The lovely DA was an alcoholic. She died of liver cirrhosis. Mm-hmm. But she was pretty much drunk probably when she was doing the case.
Sort of looks like it right there.
Yeah, and she was a jerk. I mean, she was horrible. Even the prosecutors were like, she was horrible. I mean, unprofessional. There's no way. So the prosecutors, now these are two, now Alice is no longer an active prosecutor. She's doing civil cases. But at the time when they did this case, they were both prosecutors.
You're talking about the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they said the owl did it. 100%. They're like, we never thought we would be saying the owl did it because it's so ridiculous. But they said it's the feather. It's the feather and the splinter. And there's no way you can explain those away. And so they're like, the owl did it. And I didn't take their word. I like Doug. And I'm like, the feather has me. It's the owl. So I think Michael Peterson served time for a crime he did not commit. I still think he's weird, but I think he was innocent and his family has suffered. And so I don't think he did it.
Yeah.
That's my final verdict.
He has nobody living by him, none of his kids.
I don't think so. I think which I don't blame them. They all moved away. Oh, and here's another twist. So the staircase brought out the French lady that he dated. Okay, so during the trial, he had a French crew that asked him if they could do a documentary on his story. And so they were there the whole time. And at the time, the prosecution agreed to be part of it too, and then they later backed out. So they were there for everything. Well, one of the producers, a French woman, fell in love with Michael Peterson, and they started dating, and even post-prison. And then when he got out, she wanted him to go with her back to Paris.
Oh, I remember.
And he's like, no, I'm not going to leave my family. So he wants to be in America by his children and grandchildren where he can go see them. He was family oriented. Again, I think he was a perv. I'm sorry. It's just gross to me. But at the same time, he loved his family.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mom.
I don't know. I remember the owl now. Yeah, I remember that, and it did look like it. Yeah, maybe so.
So are you, like, give me percentages. So you were 100% at the beginning.
Mm.
Where are you at now?
Well, it might have been the owl.
I think so. And the fact that it's I don't know the percentage of deaths or attacks by an owl, but it happens.
It can happen.
And yeah. They're huge.
I wish he would have thought of it or seen something to bring it all this happened.
And I don't know why the defense.
But it looks like Al his head.
Yeah.
Her head.
Yeah. And why didn't they bring out the talon and the feather? I mean, I don't understand why the defense didn't pursue that. I mean, I know it sounds just ridiculous and Al killed this woman. I know it does. But you can't just let evidence go away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to follow it. Why was there an owl feather in her wound?
Yeah, the defense just sort of dropped the ball.
I think it was so ridiculous. No one even thought of it. And again, it wasn't until the end of the trial when someone's like, hey, I think it was an owl.
Yeah. Didn't you say, though, they didn't know to pursue it? So they couldn't pursue it.
I agree. But when you have the autopsy report that says there's a microscopic owl feather and splinter and twig in her wounds.
Did it say owl or did it just say feather?
That's a good question.
Because if it said owl.
Identified as owl.
Clearly the wounds look like an owl.
They do.
So maybe they just said feather.
But what I'm saying is if you have a bird feather in a wound, that to me is enough to find out why is there a bird feather in her wound. If you're inside your house and you're attacked, why is it in your wound?
Mm-hmm.
I could see maybe like you go outside and track in debris, but it wouldn't be in your wound.
Right.
So that's what bothered me. And I think if you're a defense team, you don't just let stuff like that go. If you're a prosecutor, you don't let stuff like that go. You have to follow the evidence, and I don't think they did. They manufactured it.
Maybe so, but the defense wasn't really any better.
Nope, they weren't. Nope, everybody failed. Big, fat, freaking F from me.
Which is a shame when it involves someone's life.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, you know, I always wanted to be a lawyer. Did I win you?
I remember her. And I remember she was an alcoholic.
She's a piece of work,
and that
man.
She did some crazy things. On some of her trials,
mm-hmm.
drunk and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was a piece of work. All right, so we got through. So this was the first of the guilty or not guilty, which I was 100% confident
this
he didn't do
this was a good
it.
One. Yeah.
And I'm thinking we'll probably get some people that push back and all that. That's fine. That's
We'd
what
like
true
to hear
crime's
from them.
About.
It's I'd love to
hear. We should yeah. hear from them, yeah, see what yeah. they think. Or like know I, something we don't.
Like I told you, I was like, this dude's guilty. He is 100% guilty, but then when I started diving in, that's when I'm like, nope, I think they got the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
But now we know who did
who,
it.
Who?
It was cracking me up. Mom wasn't getting it.
No, until the...
Tagline. Yeah, you don't have props.
Be smart.
Yeah.
I almost panicked, by the way, 5 minutes ago. I was like, crap, what do I say? Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking that too all throughout. Be rude.
And don't be a victim. Can I tell you how proud I am? This is like the first time without any reminders.
No, no, I did last time.
Outline of a Murder is a Mr. Joseph production. What do you think, Joseph?